Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we lift our hands and just thank the Lord and give Him praise? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Just tell Him thank you. Tell Him thank you everywhere. Go ahead and tell Him thank you. Lord, we acknowledge who You are in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Great is Your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercy I see day after day. Forever faithful t'was me. You always providing for me. Great is Your mercy t'was me. Great is Your grace. Let's sing it together if you know the song. Great is Your mercy towards Your loving kindness. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies. Your tender mercy I see day after day. Forever. Forever faithful towards me. Always providing. Always provide. Great is Your mercy. Great is Your mercy towards me. Great is Your grace. One more time. Great is Your mercy. Great is Your mercy towards me. Your loving kindness. Your loving kindness. Your tender mercies. Your tender mercy. Oh, day after day, forever faithful, forever faithful, always providing. Great is Your mercy. Great is Your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we just pray in the Spirit with our eyes closed everywhere? Just pray in the Spirit. Your mouth open as you pray. You don't pray in the Spirit with your mouth closed. Rabakosu brakadabalia brandeboshia kabaya. Lebrunda kapasule rebelia kabarakatu shia barakataya. Lebrende baka subregedia palata subregedia bakata boya. Oh la bakabaya. Lebrende subregedia kabaridu shibagadabaya. If you can pray in your understanding, pray. Just make sure you are praying. It must not be in tongues. Just make sure you are praying. You called out my name, knew my past, covered my shame. These amazing grace you've shown so patiently, you've shown so patiently, and you waited for me, just for me. You waited for me, just for me. Where will I be if you left me, God? Where would I be if you left me, God? Where would I be if you left me, God? Where would I be? You waited. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You waited. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name, we pray and worship. Let's begin. Amen. So last Tuesday, somehow I found myself drifting towards this angle by the Holy Spirit. So I just felt the need to expound more, because I was sure that was the Holy Spirit speaking to us. The understanding the mercy of God. So why I talk generally about God's mercy, I'm going to view it from two perspectives. Because anytime we talk about mercy, people see it as pity, mere pity. And it's wrong. They just feel like they can be doing anything they want and God will just pity them. It's wrong. While I was meditating deeply this morning, a scripture came to my heart. A part of scripture where two people were praying to God and one was saying he was perfect. He had kept all the laws and etc. And that is why he should be blessed. And the other, who was an outsider, not part of their religious tradition, couldn't look up to heaven, the Bible said, and was telling the Lord how that he has sinned and how that God should even have mercy on him. Jesus was the one telling us the story. Hallelujah to Jesus. And God had mercy on the one who was sincere with his sin. And it paints a picture. If you are not careful, it paints a wrong picture that if you are claiming, you know, it just, people just give it the translation and say, nobody can be perfect before God, you know, and all that. Not true, because at that point, the resources necessary for perfection before God was not available. How did I know that? The Bible had said, Jesus speaking, he said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is what? Perfect. In other words, God wants us to be perfect, but in fact, the kind of perfection that fellow who was praying, you know, the kind of perfection he was viewing in his heart was from pride. It was not from the, the perfection was not on the strength of God's ability. It was from pride. He was boasting about what he has done for God. Are we together? And that was why it was seen, like scripture had promised, like a filthy rag before God. Because the Bible said the righteousness of a man is what? Like a filthy rag before God. On our own, we cannot be righteous. On our own, we cannot be perfect. That doesn't mean or suggest that God wants you to walk in imperfection, walk in sin all days of your life. God never told you that you cannot be perfect. In fact, he says that you be perfect as your Father in heaven is what? Perfect. In Colossians 2 down through 9 and 10, the Bible said, you are complete in Christ. A rendition, as in bracket, it says, not lacking anything. It said you are complete in Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. And one of the root meaning of the word here for complete in Greek is to be perfect. Say, I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. And the Bible has said to us already in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anybody be in Christ, is a what? A new creation. And here is Paul saying it in another way. If anybody be in Christ, is a perfect being, is a complete being. So when you say I'm complete in Christ, it is not pride. But if you are boasting about you being perfect, you know, there's a way you even boast about it, talk about it, but we know that you are actually tying it to your human effort. When you hear people who know nothing about the finished work of Jesus boasting about righteousness, you know that righteousness is as a filthy rag. In fact, they do it in a way that they want people to glory, you know, people to praise them. That one is wrong. God considers it as a word, a filthy rag, like that fellow who was praying and boasting about his righteousness in the flesh. And like I said, the provision for righteousness at that time, what was the resources that would make for righteousness at that time was not yet available, because at that time Jesus was not yet dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. Are we together? Is it Ephesians 2:7? Let's see. That kind of captures this. Ephesians 2:7. All right, go to verse 6, 5, from 4. We'll read from verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Why is he rich in mercy? Because of his love. With which he what? Loved us. How did he love us? Next part of scripture, read together. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By what? You have been saved. Next part of scripture. And raised us up together and made us sit together in what? In what? Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. In heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. So whatever he did in his death, burial, and resurrection is to the end that we are seated together with Christ, made alive through Christ. Isn't it? Next part of scripture, verse 7. It then says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. All right. So what's the Bible saying here? That God's mercy made him to come to the earth as Jesus, be dead, buried, and what? Resurrected for us. I was trying to explain that at that time, the resources needed for righteousness was not made what? Available. And yes, the proof, because it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we touch the mercy of God. Are we together? That's the only reason we can touch the mercy of God. We can experience the mercy of God. So at that point, the resources for righteousness was not available. And here is a man boasting about righteousness. That simply means that righteousness should be the righteousness of man, not the righteousness that comes from God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible also says, it says, he who knew no sin, capital He, that's Jesus Christ. It said, he who knew no sin, is that he became what? Sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. You see, the word him there now is with the capital letter H. That breaks the law of English, and that's very okay, because we are talking about who? Christ Jesus. Isn't it? So he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, became sin on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection, so that we may become, like Ephesians 2 had said, made alive, seated together with Christ, so that we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So what made us righteous? Jesus' death, burial, and what? Resurrection. What can make us boast about our completeness and perfection in Christ? Jesus' death, burial, and what? Resurrection. At that time, was Jesus dead, buried, and resurrected? No. And here was a man boasting about righteousness. So that was considered like a filthy rag, because it was his righteousness he was boasting about. And you know, the Bible said until today, wherever Moses has been preached, 2 Corinthians 5:14, 15. It said, wherever Moses has been preached, a veil covers their face. That simply means if you still have the wrong ideology today, you will still be limited. The Bible says in Romans 10 from verse 1, 2, 3, it says, I pray for Israel to be saved, a religious nation. He prays for them to be saved, Paul. He said, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to true knowledge. Are we together? So they have zeal for God, but their zeal is not guarded by knowledge. He said, they being, verse 3, ignorance of God's righteousness, have created for themselves another righteousness. Because they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They created for themselves. So their white cloths, their killing of lamb, their washings and whatever they were doing, they saw it as a way. You know, it was supposed to be like a pointer, pointing them to Christ. Are we together? But Satan now made them to take it as their way of doing things, a tradition. That now that a lamb has been slain, they still want to be killing a lamb. Now that Jesus is made available, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? They believe water makes people perfect than Jesus. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. So instead of stop using water, they still want to use water. They still bank on the traditions. I mean, we have people that, because the Bible said we are the salt of the earth, and probably in the Old Testament a few times salts were used till today, they still use salt. We have people that put salt in water and they think they've cleansed water by putting salt. So unbelievable. You know, and they drink it and they use it for some ritual. They don't understand the righteousness of God, because the Bible said they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness have created for themselves measures to attaining righteousness. Several measures and traditions. Are you listening? And that is why he boasted. That young man was boasting to God. Look, I keep the law. I do this. I do blah. I do that. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm righteous. And Jesus was like, this man is ignorant. But the other one came and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, blah, blah, blah. And that doesn't mean that that's how you attain righteousness, okay? Because now as I'm talking, some people are like, oh, dear Jesus, I'm going to sin enough then. I'll be like this guy. I'll say, Lord, have mercy on me. And like you did. So maybe you see somebody say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know who you are. Then you now go and look yourself and say, Lord, I'm not like that idiot. I'm a sinner. At this point, you are very wrong. There's a certain kind of boastness that is not wrong. The Bible speaking, Paul speaking, he said, let us boast about these things. He was boasting about what Jesus has done for him. That's not wrong. It is okay to boast about what Jesus has done for you. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That your other man was not boasting about what Jesus has done, because Jesus had not even done anything at that time. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He was boasting about his righteousness that he attained via human measures. And that was like a filthy rag. But the point I wanted to make is this. See, mercy is available for all. Psalms 145 verse 9. God is good to all. From verse 8. Mercy is available for everybody. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Mercy is available for everybody, but the only way you attain, just a little while there, so we'll continue, maybe a note, you can write notes. The only way somebody in sin can touch the mercy of God is not just to be living in sin. Firstly, I think there are two ways. I just caught this other one now. Oh, I was just reminded. There's another way. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that the interface between God and men, the mediator between God and men in the Old Testament was who? Was Moses. That at some point that the angel was pouring fire because he was angry towards the people, Moses would come and remind him of the covenant that God had with their father, Abraham, Isaac, and who? Jacob. And the angel will turn his back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was why Moses was unique. He knew the ways of God. They only knew the what? Acts of God. He knew that if he should remind the angel of the nature of God. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? The angel will stop. Listen, if it was God that was pouring fire, he doesn't need to be reminded. Because he doesn't have short-term memory or whatsoever. How do I know that it was angels that Moses was speaking to? The Bible is speaking that God cannot repent because he will not make a mistake. Why will he need to repent? He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should what? That's one. And secondly, for the angels part, the Bible said in the book of 1 Peter that even angels desire to see into these things. That means there are some things angels don't know. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And it is us who are filled with the Holy Ghost. You look it down yourself. It is us that will remind them or school them. Oh my God. He said, don't you know you shall judge angels? Do you believe what I'm saying? I know if your name is Ene or Ehi, it will be difficult to believe this truth. Knowing where you had grown up, or if your name is Oche or Owecho or Teve, like me, Teve, judge angels. Yes, you, dear Tavishima, you are the one. You can judge angels. I hope you are not so much taking your identity from Ekpayongu than you are taking it from heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, before you were brought into your mother's womb and metamorphosed, you know, you came alive, you know, was given birth in Zakibiam or Okpoga, you had been existing in the realm of the spirit. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why so Jeremiah had a call. You know, when you have this mentality, there's a way you live your life. Jeremiah was known in the realm of the spirit before God now made him small and put him in his mother's womb. And it was 9 months. You know, one time my mother was reminded, I was correcting her doctrine. She said, it's me that born you. I said, before you born me, I was existing as a prophet. I came through you. But I don't want to be disrespectful. I would have spoken like Jesus. I say, woman, I am a prophet. But I'll be in trouble. Because my mom is a Nigerian. Even that small one I talked, there was a little form of trouble. You know, you look at her face, you know, she felt like she should tell me to kneel down, but it's too late. Hallelujah to Jesus. You had an identity before you were formed in your mom's womb. So don't allow Zakibiam, Wadata. Are you listening to me? Control the way you think. Oh, Joe Barracks. Oh, away street. Don't get away from, you know, don't be a cast away because of, you know, you got to think the right way. Don't allow the mentality you got from a particular place, a tribe, control you. You see somebody say, me, I'm an Igbo man. We don't take this nonsense. We've been called out from every tribe, people, and nation. Why were we called out? Because we never belonged there in the beginning. All this partitioning we are seeing on the earth is as a result of the fall. Yes. I was speaking to a very small tribe of people. They call them the Igidis. They are not so much like that. I was talking with some of our folks one time. I said, why is it that you people look at a certain tribe in the whole world and say, you're not going to marry them? And you see how God will do things. This other tribe, the thief people always like these Igede girls. And the Igede girls, they always fall in love with the thief guys. And here is a boundary. I said, do you know that this thing started because one of your elders had a problem with somebody, probably in the farm? That's how this thing may have started. I said, you, I said you should leave my land. Okay, since I'm the head. Listen, they carried my crop. Nobody. You know, one time I was speaking with a man. I said, why will you people know? He said, yes, the youth gathered one time when I went and met one elder. The elder is the eldest person there. He now told them he's too young to change the culture. I said, the oldest person in the land says he's too young to change the culture. He said, that's how they just carried their things and left. If not, they went to beg. Because they found that their sisters are liking thief brethren. And they are liking thief sisters. You know, but you can still get married. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There are all these fairy tales that say you don't have a child. How? Who controls your womb? Won't Chinge somewhere will stop a child from entering your womb? You know, there are some things you fear that it's unbelievable. Even angels are wondering, are you mad? Are you mad? Do you know who God is? That somebody will sit there and say, you don't have a child. Who is the person? You know, I was sharing with some people somewhere. I said, no matter what you are doing, hold on to God. We're going somewhere. We'll come back here. I said, hold on to God. I said, if you don't hold on to God, anybody that have the slightest spiritual edge will finish you. Hold on to God. If not, if somebody just know how, do you know that some people are not going far? One time I was watching one video on Facebook. They carried one toy and tied the toy with sticks. And as they were trying to destroy the building, they now saw the toy somewhere. Then the young man who was trying to build there now said, I'm untying this man. Oh, God has helped him today. I said, hey, that's a man they tied. He is like, he was so excited he was untying somebody. The other one again, they were trying to fish. They now coincidentally packed something. And they saw that they tied two people together. And they said, oh, we are untying these people today. I said, what if they were not fishing? Do you know this? How these people would have died? You know, I was speaking about somebody that I used to know in NDA. Those days, the person had a first degree, first class. Master's degree, first class. After celebrating the first class, they say he slept and he did not wake up. It was like film. You know when you watch a movie and something bad happens and you feel you can change it, but they've already acted it. This one, there's no even watch out for part two. Because it was over. We couldn't believe the first class, the master, he has not explored, he has not used it. When they did autopsy or something, they found out that his brain was like, you know, when you grind, it was dry, they grinded like they grinded powder. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We're not asking, how can somebody's brain, the way the brain is, how did it become like powder? That means somebody sat somewhere and carried mortar and said, now I'm grinding your brain. This is your brain you are making first class with. Now, it sounds funny, but it's true. Somebody who is not educated, that could not even make go to primary school, but understood a technology. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I would say, hold on to God. Is it all these your steeds you are doing? Being cleaves and they go kill you. It's all breeze though, blow. You can't wear sunshade again. If they don't blow that breeze, you will do like this, the eyes will open again. You know, one time I was watching a video. I don't know if some of you will be are familiar with this culture of people. They call them the Zulums or something like that. There's one man that died not so long. He's called John. He's a singer. Maybe some of you are not familiar with them. They are in a part of Nigeria, I think in Bauchi, tribe in Bauchi or something. The guy died. John Zuya is his name. So popular in their world there, was singing and was gaining influence. Guess what happened? He traveled to Lagos. Just Lagos. Because in that part of the world, if somebody travels there, he has gone far. Guess what happened? His best friend they were singing with killed him. When do you know how I got to know he was dead? It was his best friend that said, oh, wickedness, somebody has killed my dear friend. God will judge him. Somebody is now asking, Pastor, how did you know? And I told myself, this is the person that killed him. My spirit just told me this is the person that killed him. Now, how on earth would anybody know that it was that guy that killed him? They now went and did their fetish thing. They now found that it was the best friend that killed him. The best friend now confessed that it was because he was going farther than him. Where did he travel to? Lagos. The young man dead. How did they kill him? Not cutlass. He said he hit him on his chest 3 times and invoked the power. And that's how he died. He just hit his friend 3 times on the chest. Tell somebody, hold on to God. Oh. Are you hearing me? Hold on to God. Oh. You are coding. You, God help you, you got a coding job. Now you have a coder. You are not a prayer warrior again. You have so much wisdom, you are solving the worst problem. Is it not when you are alive, you keep on solving problems? You know, I told one of my friends, sometimes you'll be coding in the night, you think it's prayer because you'll be feeling stressed like you prayed. It's not prayer. Keep your laptop and pray. Because you know, you'll be feeling serious as a coder. Thank you, Lord. No, you have not prayed. Pray. I said, pray. Daniel is not foolish. You all heard about the story of Daniel, the excellence of Daniel, isn't it? I hope people remember where I was going to. If you forget, you're on your own. Before I came here, be trying to remember. But you remember the excellence of Daniel? How that this guy was so super intelligent, but in the morning and evening, he would turn towards Jerusalem and pray. That first class student would turn towards Jerusalem and pray. I was asking somewhere, I said, we know we are new creations. Some of you have not even explored quarter of these new creation abilities. So if I ask you, how many of you are as intelligent as Daniel? Many of them kept their hand down. They are full of the Holy Ghost. You know, they don't believe it. And the truth is that they've not even explored that intelligence. Yet that intelligent guy would turn towards Jerusalem and pray. In the evening, he would turn there again and pray. If it was in our days, he would be praying in tongues. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That guy was so much of a warrior in prayer. It was his prayer that made another. Two angels came at the same time. One was bringing answer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They blocked him. His prayer kept on pushing in the realm of the spirit. Another one came and fought for him. And it doesn't happen. Don't be saying, thinking that's what happens for us. What we have right now, Daniel did not have. We don't pray and we have an interface that blocks our prayer. No, we are seated together with Christ. Are we together? But I'm trying to show you how much serious and diligent Daniel was. And I asked the question at the end of Daniel's prayer life. Every prayer he was praying, who did the prayer help? Was it God or Daniel? Look at it at the end. It was Daniel that prayer helped. At one point, they conspired against him and put him in the lion's den. I was sharing with a young man yesterday. He was not so strong. He had a situation and he's just dangling. His fate is dangling. One of my boys. And yesterday he called. I said, sir, I'm back again. Your boy is back again. And I was laughing and I was advising. I'm sure he's watching the service. And I told him, life is boring without challenges. You just have small one, then you want to die. Some of you say we'll talk, we'll go to travel international, we'll meet great people, we'll have conferences, we'll talk. Which talk will you want to talk? Small this thing, you are crying. You lock yourself up saying, I'm not coming out for 3 days. Small sack that is sack you. Small sack. Chickeny sack. They conspire. Why, hey God, if you are alive, why did you allow this? God is not real. I'm an atheist. Yeah, yeah. I'm very intelligent. They still sack me. Why will God, if God is alive, if God be for me, why did they come against me? Should be the Bible say, if God be for me, nothing can come against me. Why did they not prevail against me? You know, Pastor Chris will say, somebody will say, hey, why me? I heard Pastor Chris one time say, why not you? Who do you want it to be? Little challenge, don't get. What English will I use? Don't get flabbergasted. Is it right? Sorry. Don't get overwhelmed. Thank you. I wanted to use a very big grammar there so that it will enter very well. You know, those days, I think I heard a comedy. He said, I am flabbergasted by your spiritual malarkey or something like that. Don't get overwhelmed. Overwhelm is not the best thing I wanted to use. I need a serious word. Don't get troubled. Are you beginning? I'm trying to say, by any challenge. Then I'll share with you. I'm saying, you now, you see us preaching to you. Do you know where we are preaching from sometimes? Hey God. I say sometimes when we are done preaching, we were the most blessed from the sermon. You see us just go and sit down quietly. I say, God, you spoke to me. Because we have to preach. If we don't preach, who will preach? And I told him, life, there are some things you chest. Chest it. It makes you strong. You are going to travel around the world tomorrow and you will talk to young leaders, young entrepreneurs. You have not been sacked. What will you talk? They've not conspired and sacked you. Where will you advise from? How will you advise? You will not be able to talk. Some people will not understand what you are saying because they've been sacked. But the reason why God will allow you to go through this, and I ask him a question. I said, see, and I'm asking all of you, if you have a job paying you 700,000, and God thinks, because most of us don't always think we deserve better. Because of the conditioning of our country, we think 700,000 is the biggest thing that can happen to us. Anybody here that gets a job of 700,000, if they say miss service, they would have missed sins without even taking permission. Say, Pastor, I'm missing today. Not, Pastor, can I miss today? Raising best, sir, I will explain when I come. And they'll start from the salary. So the salary is 700K. And they told me to just miss one service. And I felt like God will understand. Because this salary will have planned my life, my mother's life, our sister's life, and brother's life. A lot of family members are banking on this 700K. Imagine you tell your family you've gotten a job of 700K. Some people will be like, my own problem, don't finish for this life. Immediately the month is getting to an end, 25, you start hearing, hello, there's this, you hear there's this, you tire. Somebody says some people will swallow shovel. I said, if God wants you to take it from that little level, because he feels he knows you deserve better, and wants you to get into a job that will give you 1.5 or 2 million, how would you pick it? You've been working a 700,000 job for like 5 years, and God thinks, no, this guy, you have been too faithful to me. Yeah. In this, your little, see what you are doing for me, see what you are doing for my work. No, I love this young man so much. I want to take him for his faithfulness to a higher level. Can he pick Michael? Let's try. Let this guy pick this signal. Let him know that he should apply for something bigger. But the guy's life and hope is in 700K. He's so faithful to God and will give to God even next month and next month and next month and next month. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, but he doesn't want to. He's so diligent. He doesn't want to leave. There's this fear. He doesn't want to leave it, lose his job. And in fact, the reason he's giving is because God should sustain his job. And God is like, you have to leave this level. He's not picking it. He's not catching it. In fact, there's no room for him to catch. He's not expecting anything like that. The Lord says, somebody can sack him. Let's sack him. Because if you don't sack him, you will not apply for this one I'm saying. And Michael will say, tell it, I am prevail. The Bible said there's no temptation that has come to us beyond our ability to overcome. Meaning it came because God is seeing that there's something what bigger. There's a glory on our inside that can do better than the challenges coming before us. I said, who can, for instance, write to you and say, count it all joy? Put it, see your sack as a reason for joy. When they sack you, put it on your wall. Put the sack letter, the termination letter. I said, Jesus, thank you. Which kind of person will write that kind of letter to somebody? He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Meaning when they sack you, just print it boldly and put it on your wall. And start thanking the Lord. Jesus, I thank. Because firstly, as a child of God, nobody should be able to sack you. But if it seems as if you were sacked, know that it's strategy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, for In that season, patience will be worked upon. This will be worked upon. What is happening? You are getting more capacitated. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Stretched for a higher responsibility. As patience works something on your inside and works something on your inside, you become strong. Your Moses are more in the realm of the spirit. Then suddenly the 2 million job just comes. All of a sudden. And you are like, my goodness. And now it's making no sense to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That this was why, if I never left there, I would have been collecting this amount. I'm telling you things I've seen, even in this place. You know, I was speaking with a dear lady one time. I got offended. She was sacked. Got offended her. The person working directly under her was sacked. I said, I wrote to the people. I said, you are wicked. I said, you are a wicked organization. Now, I know I don't have that right. But I wrote to them. I said, this is wickedness. I'm a pastor. I'm their pastor. Why did you do this kind of wickedness to them? And they felt like I was not seeing it from the right perspective. So we had a meeting. And when we had the meeting, I still told them what I believe. You know, at the end, they said, God to let them. I said, okay, now if it comes to God, I will not say anything. I still believe, even though I disagree some sort of. But I still have to agree. It's not my company. And as I was looking, and you know, of course, it has to end in peace. We are not enemies. They were suggesting, okay, we can still employ. I said, no problem. I think the lady has moved on. I didn't want to even tell them she got a new job that pays her times two of the salary. Isn't God amazing? And for the second person, we did all the talking. No evidence for sack. No one evidence. No reason. There is no reason till now why the person was sacked. No reason. Even in the office, they say, bring to the person that sacked, bring reason. No reason. One of the excuses was that as the first one was sacked, this one was not happy, so let's sack her too. I say, you look at people and just cut short their hope like that. You know, we ended the meeting with bring evidence. Now, those leaders are not the problem. There are people in the system that, you know, more like try to corrupt everything happening. And probably they are not realizing it because they are white people. I told them, you people don't know Africans. You don't know where you are. You don't know the state where you live. And while we're speaking about the second person, I felt emotional because I understand the condition of the person. So I said, can we just bring this person back? And no problem. Blah, blah. I don't call the person. I said, would you want to come back to this place? She said, sir, with all due respect, thank you for everything, but no. I said, After the speaking and the rest, this person say no. I said, is it because you are angry? Say no, sir. I just feel. Then the person told me, sir, you prophesied that I will get a better job. I said, yeah, it's me that prophesied. Just be doing this one first before the second one will come. I know I prophesied it. But when I was driving, I felt challenged. I said, what kind of faith is this? Just for me to call one of those days, we met at Petra. I said, how are you doing? He said, sir, I got a job. What? You got a job? How much? 600,000. I said, woo, how much were you collecting before? Less than 100,000. And now your salary is what? 600,000? Tell somebody that was strategy. Meaning if you didn't leave this one, you would have not seen this one. Count it all joy. All joy. All joy. Are you listening to me? Count it all joy. You know, even in ministry, sometimes we have trying moment. One time I was speaking to a friend. He said, I saw one of your boy. And the boy was just looking pompous. What is small children? Was it not that small boy you used to train? I said, when God called me, he did not call anybody with me. It was a privilege that we had some of them to raise them up and the rest. And if they want to become stupid, it's their cup of tea. I said, but when God called me, he did not call me with anybody. I said, yes, God will be privileged. God will give people the privilege to call me and serve him. But if anyone is not interested, I really don't care. When he called me, I was in a small room alone. I heard his voice. He that called me will sustain me to the end. Now that's how you think as a child of God. Your destiny is not tied to anybody. Any system. Any organization. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Say, I know who I am. You can't know this God and be wondering whether you'll be rich. Whether you walk in money. How will you not walk in money? Look at yourself. Check yourself out. Compare yourself with scripture. Where is the lack coming from? Where will it come from? Where can you find it around? How dare you doubt yourself? Say, because I've been serving God, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Maybe if I was outside, we do. You are comparing yourself with somebody in Egypt. In the wilderness, you are comparing yourself with somebody in Egypt. Where you are going to is promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. The harvest there is not like any harvest anywhere. The Bible calls it good success. I've never seen where they call success good. Only the success of a believer. He said, if you meditate upon the word day and night, you will make your path what? Prosper. He said, you will have what? Good success. I thought if we are talking about success, we should just say success. But God says the success of a believer is a good one. Say, I have good success. Say, I have good success. In the name of Jesus. And I was glad. I said, that's what we are talking about. That's the kind of testimony we want to be hearing. But do you know if those sisters were now weary and say, I've been serving God for years. Because two of them have been faithful to the work of God. When I heard the sack, it bothered me. That's why I had to write. These people have been faithful. Some of the highest partners we have in church, and all of a sudden they are sacked. Where did they go wrong? But while I was praying, the Lord said, strategy. I told them his strategy. You know, there's something before the first person got a better job, I was speaking to my wife. She was telling me how someone she preached to before employed her in the US. She preached to the person while she was serving in Joss. Now the person employed her. She was collecting just like the salary she used to collect in the former organization. Just around there. Well, I knew that was not the main job. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But I told my wife, there's something we can learn here. You see, doing the work of God can never be a waste of time. How can somebody you preach to employ you? What if you never preach to the person? I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. You preach to somebody, the person God blessed, now the person has employed you for preaching to the person. You see, when we're telling you to win souls, I know some of you are now going to start winning because you want to be employed. Don't have that mentality. What I'm trying to say is that obey the word of God. It will profit you in ways you can't explain. Is he not the one? You know, many people, the reason they don't obey God is because they cannot see the profit yet. They can't picture. It's like the obedience does not have prospect. Let me talk like real estate people. They will tell you this land has prospect. The land is after school of aviation. It has prospect. Where's Pastor Jerome? Therefore, yesterday, Pastor Jerome took us to a forest. And when we're complaining this is a forest, he says, sir, there is prospect. He said, the governor will build this and this will shoot up. I said, you are the one that employed the governor, right? So I said, I explained to them that this agent spirit have entered you. An agent will say two plots from the road. When you start moving like 5 minutes walk, he will not say, see this, are you seeing that zinc? It's only him that has seen the zinc. Me and my wife started asking ourselves, where are we going to? Is it kidnap? We arrived in a bush. The man pointed the land. They said, we should walk and see. I said, no, we have seen it. Is it not that land? They said, yes. I said, we have seen it. Let's go and talk about the price. They all know if they are wise that I was running for my life. You know, when you tell them, we'll get back to you. You're on your own. Many people cannot see the prospect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? From the obedience. What is the connection between winning souls and having money? They can't find the connection. Winning souls are having money. They say, I should win souls. Meanwhile, there's this thing I'm working on. There's this thing I'm working on. I have to give. They don't see the connection. Some of these souls you win, God can use them to make you win in life. If you know what you're doing. I tell you the truth. He can. You know, years ago, I remember when she reached out to me when she preached to that person and said, the person wants to open a shop, start a business for her. I said, is it toast to you?
Because he's a man. I said, Chekwelo, that man likes you. He said, no, sir, he's just normal. I said, are you sure? Which man would just, you bridge to a man? And I said, what do you think I should do? Can I do something for you? He said, hey, I want to start. Oh, how much is the money? You call the money, he send the money. Brother, what do you want? Talk. I was suspecting. She said, no, sir, it's not like that. Now, the reason I believe is because she's married and the person still wants to employ. I said, no, I believe this one now. You should have given up and said, you useless girl. I open your business. You don't know what that means. Are you listening to me? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his word. And every other word. Stop looking, calculating the good, how the good things will come. Stop calculating it. Some people think the way they are serving God like this, they will fail in life. How? Where do you start failing from? Listen, the time that remains that you use to do your business will be enough.
No, sir.
God will prove that that time is enough. Maybe you use Peter's boat to preach the gospel. Boat men for fishing. He used it to preach. When people were fishing, Peter allowed his boat for preaching. When Jesus came out, he said, cast your net. He will redeem the wasted what? Yes. You can never lose in God. Redeeming the time means staying with God. Why people are doing other things that they think is intelligent? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's wisdom to them. You are actually... I'm not saying you should not work hard. Don't get me wrong. There should be time for everything. Even the Bible says that. You cannot be working all days of your life and not be serving God. You should have time to pray. You should have time to come to church. Are you listening to me? Arrange your time. And God should not be the one suffering when you have used time for other things that you consider most important. No. No. Peter gave God his time. He gave God his time. Jesus preached for us. And when he was done, to prove to him that your time was not wasted, what did Jesus say? Cast your net. He said, Master, I've been toiling for many hours before he even came. No problem. Don't worry. You can go, sir. You can go. He said, no, cast that net. Same location, not at the middle of the river. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Not the choicest part where the harvest will probably be plenty. The place Peter was standing did not have prospect. Who fishes at the almost the bank? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, cast your net. Cast it. Peter said, at thy word. You know, I'm not seeing any prospect, but at thy word. That's how the Holy Ghost leads us sometimes. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. There, you just walk with the Holy Ghost, you wake up one morning, you say, buy that land. You say, God, this land does not have prosperity. You say, I say, buy the land. You say, buy that coin. A young man, I pastor in Lagos, called me one of these days. I was with my wife. I showed her the guy. He shared the screen. We saw the guy's account. He bought a coin for $1,000. And now a point came. The coin rose to $32,000. He's not up to 20. I think so. He's not up to 20. 32. He heard me speaking about crypto years ago. And he started learning it. You know, I was master in crypto before. I didn't have so much time. But I still understand to a very first thing. He said, sir, what coin? Because he used to know me with crypto. He said, what coin should I buy next? And I remember that I've not been here for a long time. And the one I even heard from some people did not work. I was just intelligent. You know, it's something I'm not so familiar with. So I can't just give. Even if the Holy Ghost will lead you, you have to have an idea around that field. So I said, no, I can't tell you what to do. In all honesty, I would recommend somebody. So the first person I recommended for him was Courage. Before I now spoke to Jerome, although Corey spoke to him already, I said to him, he said, as you prophesy, let the coin not. I said, no, it's not about that. Don't put me in a problem now. So that when I prophesy and the thing go down, you say, sir, your prophecy is why I stayed here. I said, no, I'm not prophesying. So I told him to speak with courage. Because sometimes at that point now, maybe God wants you to harvest your coin. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But you want to allow the coin to reach 100. That's where people use our problems sometimes. $1,000 gives you $32,000. Brother, you know they fear God. Even if the two will rise, remove your money. Are you not wise? I took that $1,000. Nabis. How many million is that one? $32,000. You wanted to reach 100. You have mine though. I put $1,000. I used to tell my wife. I said, if I put $1,000, it changed to $5,000. I have withdrawn. I'll be telling my friend, yes, it has prospects. It has prospects. It has. It has. They don't know I've withdrawn the thing. Sharp, sharp. Oh, now it's another $1,000. So I always tell them I buy new coin. I'm a master. If there's a new coin, tell me. After 1 month, I withdraw my money. I don't have time. I'll buy new. If they say the coin just started, I'll buy. After 1 month, at a K exactly, I'll remove my money. The rest is gambling. Hey, the Lord give you understanding. There was a time they were doing Ponzi scheme. I had to stop that because people wanted to follow me and they were suffering. You see somebody, those days, they will say Ponzi scheme. So something. I'll say, when did this start? It was yesterday. I said, how much can I put? He says, it's Ponzi scheme, sir. No problem. Take 100K. Shabby, it's yesterday that I say yes. I know what they are timing. They are timing 1 month at least before they run away. I used to leave 2 weeks. When it increase, you see me just leave quietly. When they say, hey, the people money have gone, I was like, hey, he go. The thing go. But when I saw that my people were following me, I told, okay, Ponzi scheme is escalated. Nobody should ever do it again. And I'm I promise I've stopped. Even though I was not seeing it. Are you able to get out? I'm trying to explain to you. And I told Courage to encourage him and tell him what to do. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you like, go and put your hand. You are on your own. They may start that same day and close. Now, you see, 32,000. You know, I've lost some money. That's why I don't trust some people in here. Full of the Holy Ghost, you go and be hearing woman advice. One time, one of my boys was saying, sir, you can count on me. You can put it on my head. If it does not work, I'll pay you. They don't have money to pay you. They know I'm their father in the faith. I will not disturb them. He said, I'll pay you, sir. Sir, I'm the one vouching. I said, okay, take. When I was giving the money, they were waiting for me. That same evening, they closed. They were just waiting for my money to enter. Then they closed. I was, after Tuesday service, I was driving home. I looked at the office. I saw people at the front. One military officer, he was crying. Military man is crying. Air Force officer, tears was just falling from his eyes. What has happened? Then another one that lost like 300K was explained to me. My own are just 300K. I don't drink. Forget them. You see that one there? He put over 2 million. I've been at 6 million he put. When I remember the money I put, I just drove off. I said, nothing compared. Do you understand? Well, if I even get offended, I'm disrespecting that man over there. There's no reason to get offended. Because imagine he sees me angry now, he will say, ah, brother, how much you lose? When I say, get off, are you stupid? Will you stand up and leave this place? My boys now came to my house, ah, sir, getting a stop. Yeah, it's well, sir. But I have faith they will come back. Kai, I've suffered for this reason. I have faith. Yes, prospects. I have faith. You know, one time, one of those coins stopped. Someone came to my office. He said, sir, because you are in it, they'll come back. I said, I've seen something in this church. He said, sir, you cannot be in something and they'll close. I said, I'll not be in it and do. I said, but they have closed. He said, sir, they will come back. I said, yes, nice one. They will still come back. They've not come back till now, but they'll come back one day. Shebi is God that sent me to go and put that kind of money. One again met me, he said, sir, if you put this amount and it doesn't work, I will pay you back. This one was recent too. I said, You say, yes. I sent the money. We have put it. It is decreasing with time. See, I have over five investors. They are all sitting here looking at us. Me. There's one looking at me now. He's looking at me like this. This one, he said I should buy a particular coin. I bought it. No coin remain inside that place again now. What we talk about is this I swallow. Is where this thing shocked me, oh sir. One time we were discussing Mama T. We said Jerome lent crypto on Mama T's head. No jokes. Faithful mother. There was nothing Jerome believed in that Mama T did not invest. There was no coin he saw prospect on that Mama T did not buy. That time I just told her, me, my hand, she will buy. See, I don't want to buy. All those ones I bought like five, nothing has happened. But I will still buy. This boy, Seth, she will still buy. We will still not say anything. Until now that the thing is working now. But that time, hallelujah to Jesus. Hear the Holy Ghost. Hear the, forget human advice. Sir, I will pay you. Can you pay? Now the thing has gone that way. It's all silence. Peace is everywhere. Nobody is saying anything. They say the prophet, no, prophet, no go try that thing. You no go tell me to pay back. I'm still not saying anything. Hallelujah to Jesus. Learn to hear the Holy Ghost. He's your advantage. You don't want to be seen as spirit coco. You will suffer. You will suffer. You don't want people to see that you are spirit coco. People are using their jars. You are forming steels for praying in tongues. Pray your real tongues. Kaka kaba kaba. You are doing rigos, karos, kevan, de blon, de blon. You want to pray in tongues with steels. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You know your tongues is capital letter, but you appear in the public saying, speaking in tongues in Queen's English. Libros, flahandi, flahoy, lahoy, lahoy. You want to impress people. Some want to marry with nice tongues. If I pray in tongues like a man, they will not like me. Can we pray in tongues? No, no, no. Shikafala, kafa, hala, 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 hala. Hala, hala, hala. Pray your tongues that God give you. If it's gapa, pray it. Your husband will marry you with that tongues. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Don't hide anything. Don't be afraid of being a spirit coco. Bible said the things of a spirit are foolishness. If you don't appear foolish, you have not started. They are foolishness unto men, people that went to school and have a degree. If that's the only thing you have, and a PhD, you look down on us. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, don't allow people to look down on God through your life. He said, prove yourself, give yourself wholly to these things. Give yourself wholly to it. I told somebody somewhere, if we didn't know how to pray, they would have mocked us in this town. When I started, imagine me, who did I know in this town? My father just retired and came not so long. I was the only one, I didn't know anybody in this town. I came and started this work. I said, who did I know? Many people predicted we would not go anywhere. Some people say we're going to be finished. But we are still doing it because we can pray. I told somebody, as long as I can pray, I will never pick up. Nobody will mock me as long as I can pray. When I'm done with all the noise, I will kneel down in my room and pray in the spirit for long. And make sure my path is straight. My path is arranged. Even when it seems like I'm in the wilderness, the Holy Ghost will bring about something unique in the wilderness. Because I can pray. At the end of Daniel's prayer, he was the one that was profited by the prayer, not God Almighty. At the point they conspired against this man, Daniel, with all the excellence, like I always used to say. You think it's about working hard. You're giving your best. People are conspiring against you. Like that young man I'm speaking about. You're giving in your best. People are planning. In fact, for him, he helped somebody and got into a trouble. I said, what will make you? For you now, we're not talking about literal lion now. We can see it as a troubling situation now instead of a lion. You are in a very troubling situation. What will keep you standing, the word of God? While you have dug the ground and you have built your life on the rock. Are you listening to me? That's why no matter what comes, you can't fall. Don't fall. Keep on standing. If you fall, there will be no bigger testimony tomorrow. Your enemies will say, the devil will say, what we predicted has worked. You got to keep on standing. Are you listening to me? If you don't stand in faith, you will not see the miracle. You will not see the hand of God. You know, I was sharing with leaders yesterday. I said, one time when God multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and there was a situation again where he was speaking about the yeast of the Pharisees, they now thought it was bread God, what Jesus was asking about. And they started getting scared because they were worried because there was no bread available for Jesus to feed the people. And Jesus got offended. He said, if I have multiplied bread before, why are you people scared? When it seems like there's lack now, why are you scared? In other words, Jesus was expecting that they will learn his character, understand his nature via every single act of miracle they had seen before. Now, all of you seated there, maybe you lost the job, or maybe something wrong is happening in your home right now. The last testimony you had in your home, who did it? Why are you worried now? If he did it before, why do you think he cannot do it again? That means you didn't actually understand that it was God that did it yesterday. Because if it was God that gave you this job now that they've sacked you for no reason, are you getting what I'm trying to say? You should understand his strategy. You should start rejoicing. Because he will sustain you through this season that you don't have a job yet, and he will give you a better job. God was offended at them for doubting his ability. Paints a picture about Jesus that anytime it seems as if there's a wrong situation and you are scared, he is not excited. Because if you had done something marvelous in your life, why are you scared today? Why are you worried today? Why are you frightened? He said, count it all joy. At the end, Daniel was lying on the lion like a pillow. He was lying. You know, one interesting part of that scripture that blew my mind was the fact that the king said, let me see, Daniel, if your God will save you. Oh, I stood up when I was reading it. He said, let me see, Daniel. Let your God save you now. Let your God save you. Ah! I rose my hands and I shook my hands and I gave God praise for that power of scripture. A powerful king. He said, let me see. And listen, Daniel came out from the lion's den. A lion that had been hungry for months. Now, there's this saying that says a hungry lion is an angry lion. That lion by default normally is supposed to wipe Daniel off, tear him into pieces. But what will make that lion to close his mouth? Only God Almighty. Are you listening to me tonight? It was Daniel that said at the end that they that know their God, they shall be what? And they shall do what? They that know their God. They that know their God. He said they shall be strong. They shall do exploits. They that know their God. It has to be a personal relationship. Like I said, chewing the cord beyond church. This morning, you go back home and you make sure what you have heard becomes your reality. Are you listening to me? You meditate upon it. In this world, who do you have? Do you have another person you are planning to help you somewhere? If it is God Almighty, you have to show him that it's all and all and all. Are you listening to me? When you are done with all the activities, when there is not, so you close the door and say, God, these people, they have uncles. Me, I know you are my only one. The Bible said the heart of kings is in the hand of, meaning the heart of your boss. God is holding his heart like this in his hands. And the Bible says, like very waters, he can turn it into any direction he wills. You'll be so shocked that your boss, who is a traditional worshiper, he's saying, promote that lady. Because the hand of kings, any big man you know, his hand is in the hand, heart is in the hand of the Lord. So if you know their hearts are in the hands of the Lord, why will you be trying to please men than please God? I told somebody, I said, the blessings of God come with honor. You don't have to be a riff rat to be favored. That doesn't mean you should not be respectful. I will respect you, honor you, but I'm not going to look like a low life to you to be favored by you. No. No. I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. In the name of Jesus. So like I was saying before, try to round up. It's going to be one service. Anybody else I come in? Trying to round up. Is it the mercy of God? Are people outside? Let them come inside. Are we together? I'll just make it world service. So I'll just take a few minutes more and round up. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
What was I trying to say? Remind me. Huh? Yes. It comes with what? Honor.
So I was trying to share, I said I was trying to share with someone, right? About what?
That one is a long time ago. That one was a long time ago. Pastor Emma. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, let me just try to finish the messy stuff. Are we together? So that we just pray and go home. Just a few minutes more. And we're out from here. Are you here? I was speaking about the two dimensions of what caused mercy, but there was something I was trying to hit. Are you enjoying the word? I don't know. You should enjoy it, though. If you're not enjoying it, force yourself to enjoy it. Yes. Now, I was saying, and I want you to catch it, it's very important, that you see, the only way it seems like is somebody who is not born again will experience the mercy of God is when they acknowledge that they are wrong. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Like that outsider. He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Else, the mercy of God is only going to be experienced by what? Believers. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If not, the Bible speaks about the wrath of Satan that is on the sons of what? Disobedience. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I'd explain to you how that the mercy of God is for all. Psalms 145, right? Verse 8 and 9. The goodness of God is for all, but we can plug into it. Even the people that are shouting Allahu Akbar and killing people, God loves them. Bible says He loves us while we're still what? Sinners. But what is hindering them now? They are what? Wrong ideologies. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Meanwhile, He what? He loves them. He loves them. So the mercy of God now in two dimensions before we close. The mercy of God in terms of help. 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 Stroke need. Help. Stroke need. Then the second one, the mercy of God in terms of strength. Strength. So let me speak about the mercy of God in terms of help yet. Or need. God sees our needs when people see our faults a lot of times. In the book of James, the Bible said, let mercy prevail over judgment. In that, God will see, will judge you from your needs. Alright? Yes, and not your fault necessarily. The Bible said, He loved us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Now listen carefully. If, for instance, you know, there's this concept of sin people call sin of omission and commission. Have you heard that before? And for sin of omission, a lot of times they feel that, according to their explanation, they say it simply means that sin out of ignorance. And somehow it makes some sense, because if you look at 1 John 3 and 6, we'll read together, everyone. 1 John 3 and 6, I want everyone to read. 1, 2, read. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins. So, alright. Of course, I've explained this and I'll do it again. To abide in Him simply means to have seen or known Him, because the same output for three of them. Isn't it? If you abide in Him, you will not. If you have seen Him, you will not. If you know Him, you will not. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So we're talking about the same thing in different ways. So, let me use the word known there. So, God is saying, if you know Me, you will not sin. That simply means if people are ignorant, they will live what? In sin. The Bible also said, My people perish for lack of knowledge. But the Bible also said, if anybody believes in Jesus, he will not what? Perish, but have eternal life. That simply means if you are ignorant, you will sin and be what? Perishing. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And it brings me so a part of scripture in Hebrews 5 that says, when one is killed in the word of righteousness, 13, 14, it says, and his senses are exercised, he will come to a point that he can tell the difference between what? Wrong and right. You know what happened to Adam was that he did not have what it takes, the resources it would take for him to be able to determine right from wrongs. And he claimed he was daring, or he began to discern right or wrong. Rights and wrong without the necessary resources that was required. This is what I'm trying to say. Lord help me. If you don't know anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, please let me name all the subjects for medicine. Microbiology, pathology, histology, and the ologies that is required for medicine. You cannot claim to be a medical doctor. Imagine you knew all these things and don't know anatomy. Anatomy is the study of the what? Gross structure, right? Of the human body. Physiology is the study of what? Function of the human body. So you know the function, you don't know the structure. Can you know the structure? Can you know the function without the structure? It's not possible. And at the end, you now say, I'm a medical doctor. We are in trouble. Because you will see esophagus as small intestine. You call a vein for a particular thing, another vein. The one you are not supposed to cut, you have cut. Imagine somebody claims to be a doctor, doesn't know how they stitch when they do operation. He's carrying needle and thread. We are in trouble. You know, one time they said they saw people. They saw, you know what was coming to my mind? Those days. I said, which kind of thread do they use? I didn't know that it was not that kind of thing. I thought I was just carrying needle and thread and look at it. Is it like that? Is it like that? Hallelujah to Jesus. But imagine you think like that. And the one in your house now, you carry it. Look at the skin. Where did you wound? Come. There's trouble. You know what happened to Adam? Listen carefully. And that was what happened to almost everybody, even till today. Do you know there are some people who will look at pastors? Listen carefully, because yeah, some pastors have misbehaved. And of course, it is understandable that people are mocking them. But more importantly, you see people who sit down and look at somebody like Bishop Oyedepo and Pastor Chris and say, well, that man is a foolish person, he's just a thief. You know what you are doing? What if the man is not a thief? What if everything he claims to be is who he is? He said the other day, he said he saw God. Who can see God? I beg God, these liars. What if he truly saw God? Now, let me show you a part of scripture. Moses always speaks to the angel of the Lord that used to stand in the stead of God. He will go there and speak to that angel face to face. One time, his people were disobeying him. The angel got so offended, he said, call them to come and stand. Let me pass. Let me see who will stand. When they started seeing the wave of the angel coming from afar, they said, Moses, I beg, tell him that we are not interested. You are our leader. We are our leader. They ran away for their lives. He wanted to do that to show them that what Moses could stand, they cannot stand. Then he now asked him a question. He said, how many of you? He said, I speak to you people in dreams. If I want to talk to you people, you have to sleep. That is where I understood that dreams is the most basic way God speaks to people. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody that have dreams. But he said to them, he said, I speak to you people in dreams. If I want to talk to you people, you sleep and your head is calm before I talk to you people. Because when activities are in your head, you cannot hear me. He said, but for Moses, while he's talking to you people, I can just obstruct him and start talking to him. He will pick the frequency, he will catch it and catch what I'm saying. But you people, you have to sleep. When I read that part, I said, hey God, so if it's only by sleep God speaks to me, there's something wrong somewhere. But look at it now. He was trying to make them understand that Moses was in a higher level. He said, and you dare disrespect Moses? In other words, God has this is God's mindset that when somebody seems to be exploring his abilities better than you, you should honor the person. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? Honor the person. That's how you become a beneficiary of his grace. You can't leave what God is doing in somebody and say, God, you are the God. Forget that man. He may have it, but you are the one that give it all. Give me what you gave him and give me even more. He said in his word, he said, if you love me, you will love your word, neighbors as yourself. Learn God's character. If God wants to prove your love for him by how much you love your neighbor, God will prove your humility towards him by how much you are humble to your boss and somebody doing better than you and your brothers and sisters. Meaning any character or virtue God wants to prove, he wants to see how you relate with it, with your normal, with normal human beings. You can't say, God, I worship you. Hey, Kabiye, see, you lie down and start rolling on the ground. And when somebody speaks to you, you are like, I better get out from this place. You are a hypocrite, according to God. One time I was on Facebook many years ago, and somebody looked at Bishop Oyedepo and said, see, shine head, I can see my face through his head. I was so shocked. I opened his profile. When I saw how he looks, I said, oh God, have mercy. He looks finished already. So dried. I said, with this condition, this guy is inside now. He wants to just make it so easy for angels to take him off. Read the Bible carefully. Miriam that put pampas for Moses. What did I say? That time it was napkin. She would put, I don't even know what they were using, whether it was napkin it was napkin they were using that time, but she would change it. When Moses poo-poo, she would remove it. Throw the poo-poo, wash it. You know, anytime my child poo-poo, I don't even used to know, my wife said she has poo-pooed. I would say, okay, take your child. And I would run to my room. All those things she did for Moses. She now felt like she can talk to Moses the way she needs to talk to Moses. One time, Moses was about to make a decision. And the people didn't like it. And they didn't know how to talk to Moses. So they had a meeting and they called Miriam's sister. If they begin to call you in those kind of meetings, know that they are setting you up. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Oh, the Lord give you understanding. I don't know. But the way this choir is going, are you thinking everything? Linguists, come and beg. The way this choir is going, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Don't attend that kind of meeting. Just say, I beg, go. Run away. David said, there are some matters too high for me to legislate. Years ago, I was talking with a friend. I will never forget. He said, sir, what can you say about this Pastor Chris? Let's try to judge it. I say, you want to judge what? I said, I beg. We were on campus, that college of health. So I did it to him like this. I said, I beg. I don't go. He started laughing. He said, no, it's not that serious. I said, is that serious? Oh, is that serious? I took back like a joke. He was thinking I was playing. I went home. He called me and started apologizing. I said, apologize to yourself. Oh. That matter was so big. I said, I don't know the issue. Nobody told me about the issue. What will I legislate about? One time I heard him talking about his marriage. He said, I heard people talking about my marriage and saying all kind of stuff. Well, I just hope you are right. And if you are wrong, just know I'm a man of God. I say, ha. This is set up. He said, I just hope you are right. He said, but if you are wrong, just know that I'm a man of God. You know what that statement means? You see some people saying they have newest success syndrome. Ask them the discussions they've been having for years. No, I'm not joking now. I'm being 100. You think grace covers this thing? Calvary covers it all. The way men of God, they behave. I know they don't. My sins and shame don't count anymore. As you get close, God will put. There must be an experience, some sort of, that will be a pointer that you have been foolish before. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because the two foundations of his throne is justice and righteousness. You know, there's something that I think, was it Solomon or David said about God's mercy in Proverbs 24? Let me quote it for you. It said two things that you should use to tie yourself and guide yourself through life. It says mercy and truth. I want to quote it for you. Mercy and truth. Some people just hold on to mercy, not truth. He will be merciful. He will be merciful. And will be doing wrong things. Living anyhow. Proverbs 3:3-4. Let's read together. Proverbs 3:3-4. Oh, hallelujah. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What should you write in the tablet of your heart? Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. My God is a merciful. Hold on to truth too. Hold on to truth. He came for you while you were foolish. He did this. Let that not be your testimony. Now you are 20 years in the faith. You are still talking like that. I have not been faithful. I have been behaving foolish. See, when I saw how God came, It's not like the testimony God did not do it, but I was just wondering, you this scared. You don't know what is happening. A time will come, you'll pluck off your head. In that foolishness. No jokes. You know, one time I was reading the Bible, I was doing my hand like this because I didn't understand what I'm reading here. The Bible says, when God wanted to, through the ministry of angels, of course, interface with the children of Israel, there was a time that fire was just coming down from the cloud because they were disrespecting Moses. I don't know if I finished that Miriam story, but let me say this one before I finish that one. They were disrespecting Moses, and the angel of the Lord that was in charge of the camp became annoyed. And without Moses' permission, fire was just coming out and burning people. Moses just saw fire. People were dying. He rushed outside. Stop, stop, stop. That's where people said Moses told God to repent. God is not daft. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was an angel. He said, stop. Remember the promise you made to your children, father, Abraham, Isaac. And the angel stopped. Because he remembered the nature of God. That God is not supposed to do things like that. Remember, if you read the Bible says, God told Moses, he said, I'll put my angel to go before you and guide you to the promised land. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And immediately the angel stopped. The fire did not come down again. Moses mediated. That's why Galatians 3, Paul called Moses the mediator. But even now in the New Testament, he said, Jesus is a mediator, not Moses. And there's a part of scripture where I saw somebody misunderstanding the book of Acts. He said, Moses said, God is going to raise for you people another prophet like unto me. Not the mindset there, the understanding there should not be that Jesus is the new version of Moses. No. No. Jesus and Moses are in the same category. No. This is it. Moses was a mediator. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But now in the New Testament, who is our mediator? Jesus Christ. That's why Moses said, when this prophet comes, he said, listen to him. Meaning, he's not trying to say, argue with him what I've said. He said, whatever he has said, if I tell you that, as that man is coming, anything he tells you, do it. It means whatever I've said before, if he counters it, just do it. That's why Jesus was speaking at a point. He said, Moses said this thing to you because of the hardness of your heart. You people were stubborn. He said, in the beginning, it's not supposed to be like that. That's why sometimes we see us teaching and we're trying to correct some canon laws. What is a canon law? A canon doctrine is a man-made doctrine created to aid the people touch God. Because they were ignorant in that aspect of life. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. Go and study anywhere they have canon doctrine. Ask the meaning of canon doctrine. That's what it means. So if we are telling you what is supposed to be right now by the Spirit, we are not negating a church doctrine. We are negating a man-made doctrine. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And he wanted to start another generation with who? Moses. But Moses refused. He refused. Hallelujah to Jesus. And the Bible said the angel called Moses a meek man. He said, I've not seen a meek man like this upon the face of the earth. Back to what I was speaking about. I was talking about how that I was shocked. You know, at that point, he was interfacing with that angel. When he said those things, the next thing that came out from the mouth of the angel is, I will have mercy on whom I want to have mercy on. He was trying to make Moses believe that, Moses, don't worry, because of what they have, because Moses was saying that they needed to be punished. So somehow, just have mercy on them. We know this thing is not part of our agreement. They've broken the code. And God spoke because of what Moses invoked. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And somehow, just note this one, that you steer mercy by knowledge. The knowledge of the covenant or the knowledge of the word of God. Let me put it like that. Because of the understanding of the covenant, the judgment what? Stopped. Then there's a word that came. I will have mercy on whom I want to have mercy. Even Paul quoted that in the book of Romans. But this is it. I was reading and I found out at the end of everything, the children of Israel did not enter the promised land. That generation of people that were stubborn did not enter. Meanwhile, God said, I've had mercy on them already. That simply means if God keeps on showing his mercy to you and you are still misbehaving, you still become a victim of the circumstance somehow. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. God saves you the first time. He says, Satan, come again. He saves you. He says, Satan, come again. Are you listening to me? The reason why it's long suffering towards you is to the end that you don't perish but come to what? Repentance. Not that you are foolish. If his long suffering is misunderstood, you will suffer the consequences. He's not this merciful for you to be foolish for long. He's long suffering towards us so that at the end we'll come to what? Repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all comes to what? Repentance. Sometimes you hear somebody speaking foolish. You say, my mother is praying for me somewhere. That's why things are not bad. Things are not. My father is praying for me. Somebody is praying for me. Doesn't mean you should be foolish. One time I was speaking with a friend. I said, the blood was on the doorpost of the children of Israel. They were saved from all the wickedness of the devil. But do you know some of them still died in the wilderness? They said, I never thought like that. I said, they still died. What did not kill them in Egypt? Because of the blood on the doorpost. It killed them in the wilderness. Some of them. And if you observe, God did not kill these people. The Bible speaking, when David was giving the account, his own account, he said they limited the Holy One of Israel. They were the ones that limited God. And at the end of everything, when those spies came with a wrong report, that is why you should not be listening to rubbish. Things, words that make you weak. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They listened to a wrong report. We are like grasshoppers before them. That's what they said. And the Bible said the children of Israel began to shake. They were scared. Because they heard a wrong report. The two other guys that came, truth is always not so popular. They came. Joshua and Caleb. I said, no, even though we look so small before them, as long as God has given us his word, the Bible says, Caleb tore his shirt out of anger. He said, let us go at once. What charged him up? The word of God. He said, let us go at once and take them away. Take them away. You see, understanding the promises of God is our strength. The word of God is your strength. Do you know that after several years, when Caleb became 84, when they wanted to go and fight that war, because the other guys limited them, but they still entered it, even though they were delayed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look at what he said. He said, I feel the same energy like I felt when I was young and God spoke to us about taking that land. He said, I can still feel the same energy. Tell somebody, prophecy will sustain you. As long as you are believing it, it will sustain you. He said, I can still feel the same energy. Let us go again. His confession has not changed. You know, if I can have 5 bold people in this place that will stay with the word of God, this year we'll give ourselves high fives at December 31st. Because all that God has said, you'll see it. If you can have that Caleb and Joshua kind of faith. Because obviously they were like grasshoppers, but Caleb and Joshua said, we will not say they were like grasshoppers before them. The Bible said when Caleb and Joshua began to say their own account, the children of Israel took up stone to stone them. Get out from here with this rubbish talk. And Caleb and Joshua fled from their presence. Why? They spoke the account of God. They spoke the testimony of God. Listen, a lot of times when you are saying what God has told you, when you make it your way of talking, you know, you can come to a point where you are, the way you speak and greet and talk is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. People are saying there's a casting down. You say there's a lifting up. Everybody is praying for Brother Solomon. He wants to die. You enter the room and say he's not dying. Somebody is almost going to slap you if you are not careful. Are you stupid? We just gave him communion. Why do you? We have given the last. He's going to die. You know, one time I was speaking to a friend. I said, why is it that anytime somebody wants to die, they'll come and be rushing to tell him to receive Jesus before he dies? I said, no. I was praying, that revelation came to me. I said, you don't die when you receive Jesus, you live. He said, the enemy has come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and life in abundance. Somebody says, eternal life after death in abundance. Eternal life does not start after death. It starts now. It is the standard of life Jesus lived on the earth. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. He lived it before and after his resurrection. He said, as the Father sent me, send I you. The same thing he had as a reason for his sustenance while on the earth, you have it. The same power he was working with, because as long as God sent him, he gave him. Where there is vision, there's provision. The provision for the vision God gave Jesus that he has given you is available for you. All of you seated in this place. And that's why in 1 John 4:17 he said, we are not scared unto the day of Jesus' coming, because as he is, so are we. Where? In this present world. Stop thinking so cheeky. Don't Don't allow the civilization of the world make you think in a certain way. Not even the movies you watch from the white world. And I was talking to a young man one time. I said, be tough. You are behaving like a woman. He wants to look like all those white people that he watch on movie. I said, be tough. Any smart you are crying. He now has a bestie. I told my bestie and we cried. I said, yeah, yeah. Did you read the Bible and saw that Caleb was like this? Joshua had a bestie and he was crying. Yes, now you are behaving like a guagua. Instead of eagle, you are playing like behaving like Swiss Wee. One small situation, you are like, hey God, why me? Like a woman. I said, be a man. You see, if you really stay with the word of God, if you are a man, it will make you a man enough. If you are a woman reading the word of God, you will start thinking, I'm not saying you will start walking like a man. No. If you start walking like a man, you are like your own. No man wants to marry a man. There are some women that their spirituality is making them walk like this. Stop walking like that. Some people say, no, it's the Lord. It's not the Lord. Just go to the mirror and learn at work. Let them marry you. How can you say, I'm like, lepokata nepa paka. Shadow. Man of God, how are you? Are you okay? In the name of your spiritual. I tell you, even those prayer warriors will not marry you. They are looking for a girl, not a prayer warrior like that. Like they already, they feel like there's a yoke on their life already. You don't come and become another yoke. Have you observed that prayer warriors are not marrying those kind of people? In fact, some of them will go outside the church and bring one and come to the church. If you ask them, they'll say they are adding to the church. So, women, you know, somebody will say, pray that God. No, don't pray. It's you people that are doing that in yourself. Change it. Way back on campus, there was this young man who was following me. He just got born again and somehow God helped him. He became a pastor with a church. And one time, his eyes were open. He saw a lady that God wanted him to marry. But another girl now came to him and said, he's seeing wrongly. That she's the one meant for him. And God have told her, boy, he's not aligned to see. So he came to me and he was genuinely worried. I said, brother, you are just coming into this thing. We know these kind of sisters. Just lock up your mind. They did not see anything. I tell you the truth. If I don't believe you should be seeing those kind of things. And if per adventure you see, you should not talk it. If it does not work out, leave it. Let it die like that. You have to have your own dignity as a woman. The most genuine man in this place will disrespect you if you tell him that God said you are the one for me. The most genuine man. Look at everybody, including me. Once in a while, I will remind you. You are the one that asked me out. I did not ask you out. You better respect yourself if you want this relationship to continue. You don't want to be in that place. You have to keep your dignity. Are you listening to me? I remember years ago, I was in my younger sister, my immediate younger sister, on to go. We were chatting on to go. She was looking at my chat. You know, those days they will not have phones, so they'll be looking at their elder brother's phone before they now have their own phone. She was just seeing how I was chatting, and one of her good friend, not really, I mean, seeing yourself in the barracks. The lady now messaged me and was telling me how much she likes me. And how that she has been keeping it for so long, but she feel like today she should just let it out. And my sister was there. I wanted to hide it. She collected the phone. Hey! This girl an idiot. Oh, stupid girl. God forbid! I will never talk with this girl. I go warn her. You are a fool. She was insulting the girl in the house already. You know her pain? It was not that the girl was asking. It was bad for us to be in a relationship. For the fact that she was talking to me about a relationship, she felt disrespected as a woman. She said, my respect for this world don't finish. And you know the sad thing? She was in a relationship with one of my brothers in the faith. When I now asked her about my brother in the faith, not like I was considering to enter. I said, but you are in a relationship. She said, no, we are just passing time. I see. He's an apostle. I have not even discovered my call yet. I don't know what that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So never do that as a woman. If you find yourself that you are praying and you start doing like this as a woman, change it. Just do your bag like this. Don't continue like that. If you find out your bone is doing like, do the bone like this. Don't say it's the Holy Ghost that is giving me a structure. It's not the Holy Ghost giving you a structure. Change it. Move. You know, move the way men like to see women move. Donut, am I lying? Is it Donut self don't like those kind of people? Every man wants to see a woman moving like this. You. That's what makes you a woman. Stop behaving like a man. You are not the man. Are you listening to me? Are you all listening to me, women? And some again, though, enter a relationship like a lady I used to know in this church. She entered a relationship with a man. Of course, with a man. And this guy is even a pastor. She started saying, what is your vision? He told her, she said, the vision was not explained enough. I said, what is this? The vision is obvious now. He's serving God here. He's going to pastor in this church. He will pastor waiting no good in this church. The vision is so obvious. I don't know what they are asking again. I got offended. I did not talk. She kept on saying, he's not bold. Now when he talks timid. He's not talking bold. I said, I called two of them and asked, what is the problem? I said, sir, he's the one. I don't understand him. He's not. You know, at a point, I pitied her because she made a statement that it's not bold like Prophet Simon. It's not. I pitied her because if she was in this relationship, should I tell them? If she was in this relationship, she would have run away for her life. Because this boldness enter everywhere. This boldness can be in the public and say, keep your mouth shut. So are you guys listening to me? This is how this boldness can be. Can you take that? I mean, I don't refrain it. I will tell you, it's okay now. This boldness can sit down like this, and if I say, bring me water to wash my hand, and another person brings it, I'll say, take it back, you go and bring it here. This boldness is like that. Can you take it? And also, see, some women are looking at me and say, thank God he's not my husband. That doesn't mean that that's how I behave all my life. At some point, I've corrected one or two things from her. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I think one time that I did it, there were even in-laws around. Oh, I knew she didn't have a good... It was the earliest days of the marriage. You know, when you are just married, you think you are still girlfriend and boyfriend. When your husband, you think he's boyfriend. You know, they don't easily graduate from that boyfriend thing. So you give an instruction and they treat it like a boyfriend. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I sit in the house as a chairman. I expect... My God, do you know what it took me to be here? I knew how they did not have mercy on me in any, I paid this bride price, everything. They didn't want me to owe them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even on the day of marriage, I completed one, this thing like that. I told them marriage time, I'll complete the two others. After how many million? Just over, a little above a million. Just a million, which some people are opening their woo. And after I've suffered and done everything and catch everything, you understand what I'm trying to say? Covered everywhere. There was nothing I did not buy. I bought cash and carry. And I'll sit down like a boss that I am. After this hard work, I said, make sure that thing is done. You now say, okay, I'm coming. I said, you can't be coming, oh. You have to stand up now. It's now. The way I'm saying is not the way I said it that day. She was, and it was my favorite in-law. So she was just talking and playing. They can talk with, oh my God, if you see them. She was so into the gist, she did not even hear. She forgot the thing I said. I said, you have to stand up with the speed of light. She did not only stand up, both of them stood up. And they went and started arranging everywhere. He's always just trying to. What has come over this hour? Nothing came over me. I didn't just want assumption. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was pitying the lady when she was just disturbing that my pastor. I said, this one don't understand it, you know. Can you bear this yoke? Now that's one small side of it, which anybody probably can take. What of the ministry yoke? Do you know how many school fees this lady has paid? Somebody will just cry to the house. I will say, I don't have that money. Do you have? But Simon, I wanted to use it. Pay the school fees. What of this thing in the house? God will provide. Pay the school fees. I said, pay it. But Simon, but pay. Now, no complaint again. Pay it. In fact, she's hearing the problem. She just moved to her rooms quietly. And she just come. How much is the money? Okay, how much do you have? How much do you have? How much will I give? It's not enough. And I said in my heart, can you do that? That's what I was just thinking. How many people can do that kind of thing? Then I was looking at her, I was just wondering. You want him to be bold? You see somebody that is like a lamb, you did not collect your tear and run away. You are talking about, you want somebody to be bold. I thought women would like cool men. You know, I was even thinking women would not even like me because I'm too bold. Even though some people say when I'm not, maybe when I talk is when I think I'm bold sometimes, not every time, right? I know people don't believe me, but I'm not exactly as you think that I am. Even though I'm confident. Let me just use the word confident. Then again, she now went to dressing. He said, imagine you join this color and that color. First, he started with vision. You know, they would just be looking. If you don't like the brother, say you don't like him. He started with vision to dressing to rubbish things. I got offended at a point. I said, call her to come. When they came to my house, I said, the relationship is hereby dissolved. I said, young man, go. Have peace of mind. You need peace of mind. It's underrated. You go and look for vision and good dressing. And anytime you break the relationship, that's when they are interested. Their eye will just open. His case will fall off. I never knew he was this good. You now seen them send you a message. Why did you move on so fast? I was actually testing you. Test you. Tester. That's when their eye always open. Because you know, most of the times, the reason why they don't want that guy is because they are hoping another one will come and ask them out. You don't even know who that one is. This one now that you have, you do not hold. I always tell women, logically and jokingly, I used to tell them men are scarce. People don't know. You don't know men are scarce? Oh, because you see plenty men in this church. Go and check the worst record of women in this world. You people are everywhere, like MTN. Go and check the record of men. Now, I'm not saying just take any man. I don't mean you are a low life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But if God brings a man, stop all this unnecessary trouble. Unnecessary trouble. Ask my wife. When we started a relationship, I did not know she had an ability to be angry. Because she was always like a lamb. When I used to know her. And while she was not willing to resolve, guess what I did? I now called a friend. Hey, come. I called. She said, stop it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I called the friend. I said, two of you, your problem has been resolved now. She did not burst. When the friend left and we're going, she started jumping. You know, I've done deliverance several times. I know that particular kind of demon. It was like, why did you do it? I said, Jesus Christ. If we had ushers, I would have said, hold her and bring her here. She was doing that thing and moving, just moving, moving. This is how I stood at the road. Not in the house, it was on the road, just opposite CHS. She was doing it. And I was just looking like this. In my heart, I was like, dear Jesus, have mercy on me. My eyes have seen something today that my ears, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. What am I saying? I said, thanking God. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for revelation. As she was going, guess what I said? I said, as you are going, never come back. Ask her, she's here. I said, as you are going, don't ever come back. Thank you. I just said. I couldn't take back because I wanted to think about what I saw. I walked home. to Villa Suit. I was, oh, okay. When I reached my house, I did not know. I said, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So now who are going to marry with this? Jesus Christ. As I entered my room, I said, thanking God that the relationship is over. The relationship, I'm not sure I survived 1 week, I'll be 2 weeks. When I discovered that. You know, I thought I'm Prophet Simon now. So I can just call her and her friend and solve problem. Because I'm Prophet. Yeah, I know the way she, Professor, Excellency, sir. The way she will come and bow down on campus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I just called her like a small girl and her friend. I wanted to just solve the problem. And now I'm seeing a reaction I don't understand. I said, this is why I have mine, because I say I love you. Oh, God. I say it's my fault. I would have not said I love you. I kept my respect. And, you know, I had a friend one time. He said, Cynthia, before I asked you out, my name was Papa. When I asked you, when I started liking you, you started reducing it to Apostle. Now we're in a relationship. You are calling me Samson. Cynthia, give me back my Papa. Give me back my respect. When I entered the room, I stayed for like 5 minutes pondering. Somebody knocked. Pok, 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 pok. I opened the door. It was her. I wanted to. She now pushed and entered. I said, okay. I sat down, looking at north and east. She stood. She now knelt down. I'm sorry. I did what I did. I said, no, sorry is not the problem. Is this who you are? Tell me the truth. Is this who you are? That demon I saw, I know it. It has to be removed. Said, no, it's not me. It's just that. I said, this is what I'll be doing to you every time. Will you be doing like this? Let's agree now. In my heart, I signed an agreement with her that day. Then she wanted to sit on the chair. I said, no, I brought you one small stool. I said, sit down here. Look up to me. I sat on the bed. She sat almost on the ground, looking to me. I said, who am I? She said, Prophet Simon. I said, no, in the relationship, who am I? She said, you are the head. Who are you? She began to think. I said, I'm the head. I said, where is the brain? She said, in the head. I said, I know better than you. I know you are a first class student, but what I know, people that have first class don't know. I said, I know life. You know microbiology. Can you use microbiology to solve life problems? She said, no. I said, you have to listen to me when I talk to you. That's what will make you better and make you my wife. Else you scatter this ministry. I told that ministry, I have a lot of reason to do that thing you did today. They will vex you. Some people will like your husband. And there is nothing you can do about it. He still has to counsel them. You know a lady who is like your husband, she will still come. Sir, I have a problem. Your husband will counsel her. Because we cannot pursue them. They must still be our members. You don't have the right to pursue somebody crushing on pastor from church. Because while they are crushing, they will change in the crush. When the Holy Spirit crushes them too, they will change. I say a lot of these things will happen. If you don't have patience, how can you be my wife? When I was done everything, I told her, I don't know, the only thing we didn't do is an agreement. And later I said, please tell me the truth. You will never do it. And that's how she has been ever after. You know, one funny thing was, at the time I married my wife, the day I married her, I said, now we are married, show the right, the worst character you have, start showing him, because you know I will not divorce. Let me see the real you. Show it. He said, Pastor Simon, what are you saying? I said, you used to pretend to marry you. Is that not what I heard? You know, there's some wrong perspective we have as men too. We're expecting some terrible things. When I got married, I said, those things you have that you have not shown me, can I see them? I was expecting one kind of thing. He said, now I've entered husband's house. And you are a prophet. You cannot. Hallelujah to Jesus. And lastly, the second part of mercy. What's the second part of mercy now? Strength. And I'll end now. Hebrews. 2:17 verse. And some of you have not heard the word of God for such a long time. You are worried. Don't worry. You love this thing. Do you understand? This is how we grow.
Yes, sir.
Just a one-time thing. We're supposed to do one service, but because I saw that, two services, I mean, but because I saw that the word of God was entering well, I said everybody should just join. You know, these people that enter for second service, you have cheated them now.
Yes, sir.
So don't look defeated, eh? Look okay. Let's read together. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like, that he might be what? And what? High priest in things pertaining to God, to make what? For the sins of the people. So he became a man to be merciful. How was he merciful? In that he died for us, was what? Buried for us, and what? So if you truly understand Jesus' mercy or God's mercy, it is because you understand his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. And Romans 6 explains all of God's mercy. He said, the end of it, one of the summation of it is in verse 7. Let's see verse 7 of Romans 6. He said, he that is dead, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So if you truly understand God's mercy, you are free from sin. And if you are free from sin, you will not sin. And that is why he said in Hebrews 5, let's see Hebrews 5, from verse 14, hit 14, let me see if I'm right. Now go to the last part of scripture in Hebrews, last part of scripture. Is this the last part of scripture? Hebrews 4, verse 17. Is it 17 or 14? Let's put it up. Let me see. I don't want to hold my notepad because I want to end. All right. Give me verse 15. All right. Give me verse 14. Now, I want everybody to read. Verse 14. One to read. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Next part of scripture. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Give me the old KJV. Then we read the new KJV in the next part of scripture. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, everything you are facing now, Jesus has faced it. All the trials and temptation, Jesus has faced it. So he knows how to be merciful. Don't think, Jesus, you are not in my God, you are not in high level, you don't know the temptation, you don't know the trials, you are not in the lack that Tinubu has put us into, so you will not understand the reason for my temptation. Jesus faced all situations. So if he wants to show mercy, he's the right person to show mercy. He knows how to show mercy because he has faced all the situations. And he felt like the best way he can show mercy and make you strong is by dying on Calvary. And whatever you have as a resultant effect of his death, burial, and resurrection is enough mercy to be strengthened in any situation, to go through any situation of life. That is why on the strength of what he has done for us on Calvary, he said to us that it is true that he has given us everything that we need for what? Life and godliness. The mercy of God was revealed in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you understand that, you cannot be subjected to sin. Mercy is not fall and rise because of mercy. Mercy can take you up. But more importantly, mercy can keep you up forevermore. So read the next part of scripture now. Just read the next part of scripture. Let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. You see this now? Anytime there's a need, I remember the first perspective of mercy I told you people is in terms of what? Help and what? Need. And now, Peter was supposed to walk upon the water as he looked up to Jesus, isn't it? But at some point, he began to be drowned because he now focused on the situations and the trials and whatsoever around him, isn't it? So he was getting drowned. And it was mercy that helped Peter to come out of that situation. This is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you are in a situation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And the situation seems to be getting the best part of you. Mercy can pull you out of that situation. But more importantly, Luke says, a wise builder digs the ground to build his house on a... So that when trials and situations comes upon you, you will keep on standing. That's the actual realm of mercy. That's what mercy is actually supposed to achieve ultimately. Not the fact that you are drowning and mercy will bring you out. Is a little realm of mercy, more like the baby realm of mercy. The actual realm of mercy entails that you dig the ground and build your life on God's word. Build your life on the finished work of Jesus. So that when trying moment will come, you will keep on what? Standing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? This is a real realm of mercy. That is why the Bible said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. So that when we obtain mercy and there's a problem in our life, we can go through the problem. There's a situation, we can go through it. So this part of scripture is not to the end that you have sinned, come and collect mercy and go and sin again and come and collect. No. No. You know, there's a goal that God wanted to achieve by the reason of his death, burial, and resurrection. What's that goal and that vision? Kingdom. And that kingdom, we are the people that make up that kingdom. There is no kingdom without Christians. And there's a standard of people that should make up the kingdom. That is why he said something in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. He said, don't you understand that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, do not be deceived. Neither what? Fornicators. Neither what? Neither what? Neither what? Do you know when you still sin, he will forgive your sin? Do you know any time you sin, he will forgive your sin? But you are actually not part of the people that will help him achieve his purpose. His purpose is kingdom. As long as you are sinning and just coming back, you think mercy is something that will just bring you up anytime you sin, bring you up anytime you sin, you don't actually understand mercy. Somebody said, but the righteous man falleth 7 times and rise up again. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that in scripture? You don't know that part of scripture? Who said that in scripture? David said that. It was on the strength of the understanding he had at that time that he said what he said. Because at that point, the kingdom, the vision of the kingdom has not yet been revealed. Are we together? So you fall down and rise up again. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, I came for a kingdom. And that's why Paul reiterated and said that in a great house are several vessels. All of them are vessels. But some vessels are unto what? Honor. And some are unto what? Dishonor. He said, if a man purges himself from the latter, he becomes a vessel profitable. So there are some vessels that are not profitable for the master's use. They are just there and they are getting help for eternity. That's not God's vision. He wants to use you for his glory. He had said before in the book of Isaiah that you were created for his glory. So if you are in a realm where, you know, John was speaking about such a people in 1 Corinthians 2, actually for a Christian, John actually understands that we have the nature of God to the end that we will not sin. 1 John 3:9, he said, we are born of God and we are not supposed to sin. In verse 6, he says this in another way. He said, we abide in God, we know him, we have seen him, and we are not going to continue in our sin. But he then said in verse 2, before he got to this actual realm, in verse 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, isn't it? Beloved, now we are children of God. Now they are children, isn't it? And it has, no, 1 John 2 and 1, not this part of scripture. I want us to read together. I hope they quoted those part I was quoting. He said, my little children, these things. Now, at this point, he's calling them what? Little children. But the actual realm of a believer is that he should not sin, which we have seen in verse 9 of 1 John 3. But here he's speaking to them as children. He said, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He said, actually, you are not supposed to sin after reading me, after reading from me. Meaning, when you are done reading the book of John, you should understand that you should not sin. Because that's why he said, if you know me, you can know what? Continue. If you have the knowledge of God, when you are done reading from John, you should not sin. But, he said, and if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate. With what? The Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Actually, don't sin. But should in case you sin, there's an advocate with Jesus. He paid for your sin. Receive mercy. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But more importantly, the mercy should make sure you don't sin. Tell somebody, I'm who God says that I am. Forget about whatever anybody thinks on the earth that you are. It is difficult to swallow up these things, but it is true. Like Caleb and Joshua, if God says you cannot sin, be charged by that word. Caleb tore himself. He said, let us go at once and take over that land. Be charged by the word. Let the word of God charge you up. If God says we cannot sin, it doesn't matter how many years I've been in sin or an addiction or what the world have been saying about sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said me that he created cannot sin. Because nobody understands the creation like the creator. Nobody knows what you can do like God. T-Pain does not know. Brenda does not know. Call all those singers that are singing that you are not perfect. They don't know. They don't even know themselves. The Bible speaking, it says, as we behold Jesus like a mirror. He is our mirror. He is our standard of life. This is the actual realm of mercy. Mercy is in that Jesus died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. A And look at the consequences. We're going to end with this. Romans 6. Give me from verse 5. I want us to read in the TPT's rendition. I love that rendition. Everyone, are you ready? We'll read and close. Want to read. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are what? And the new life that it impacts. I want you to read with boldness, right? Now let's read verse 6. We're trying to round up now with boldness, except you want us to extend this teaching. Want to go? Could it be that I? For we were. What has happened to our former identity yet? Don't rush. It has what? Been deprived of its power. So you tell the flesh, you don't have anything against me. You've been deprived of your power. It will want to try again. It will knock on the door. It will want to fall, may cause you to fall to sin. But you tell it, no, no, no. You've been deprived of your power. The battle is in the mind. The victory is in the mind. If you win here, this flesh will respect itself. To be carnally minded, meaning you are seeing yourself as this, is death. It's able to be spiritual. That identity is in the spirit. Kenyon calls it the true man of the heart. It is not seen with the optical eyes. That's why Paul said that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That true identity. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is not seen with the optical eyes. If you base your life on that, you are not carnally minded. You are being spiritually minded. Because that true identity is a spirit. That's why we say the true you is a spirit. That has a soul and you are living in a body. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say to you? Is it to be spiritually minded? That is where life begins. And that's where true peace comes from. That peace is called shalom, shalom. It's called peace on every side. Peace on every side. Those days, the Hebrew guys, when you are going for a journey, they'll say shalom, shalom. Meaning go well and come back well. I know my boys messaged me that he was going to Maiduguri, he was posted. I said, go back and come back well. Shalom, shalom. I release peace upon him. I said, as you are going there, shalom everywhere. If they fire a bullet, it will look, you will see the bullet, it will fall before you. Somebody say, how does this thing work? He said, forget about it. Know that God is your father. Meaning, meditate on the fact of the realities of sonship so much. Forget about problems around you. Just be thinking about who you are in Christ and leave the consequences of this thinking to God. You will see the resultant effect of the thinking. Now, the Bible speaking, it said the stone that Jacob laid his head is a, it said Jesus Christ can be the substitute of that stone. Jacob laid his head and discovered that where he laid his head was the gate of heaven. If you go to that place he laid his head, you will not see any angels ascending and descending. What I'm trying to say is that if Jesus is that stone, are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible like it in times of shadow, they call Jesus that stone. If you rest on the finished work of Jesus, you don't need to be trying to see angels. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As long as you are conscious of who you are in Christ, you are caught up in the supernatural. And the best experience that you should have, you will have. As the Lord wills. What I'm saying, you are not getting it. It's called the glory realm. Where you don't try to, you are not looking for an encounter. You are in encounters. The right encounter happens to you by the will of the Father. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? That at this realm, now in this realm, you are not trying to be prophetic in nature. When it's time for prophetic, God will open your eyes to see. You have rest. You don't want to prove anything to anybody. You know you are lacking nothing. So when God entails that you see something about your home, your wife, your child, your eyes are open, you will see. By the will of the Father. It's called a glory realm. Kenneth Hagin speaks so much about it. It calls it the anointing upon the anointing within. It says, but the both of them working together is called the glory realm. In the realm of the anointing, you have a say. Just like Elijah, you can be anointed and say, I'm angry at these children. Foxes, come and kill them. They're stupid children. You have a will there. But in the glory, you don't have a will. You've been completely sold out to Jesus. In the realm of the anointing, you can be angry at the people and call down fire. The disciples say, call down fire. There are some guys who were masters of that realm. They call them the sons of thunders. Jesus looked at them and he rebuked them. He said, you don't know the manner of spirit that you have. That's why I tell people, I said, listen, I am not going to ever force a Muslim to receive Jesus. We Christians don't force Muslims to receive Jesus, but we believe that Jesus is the only way. Yet they have a choice. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We are not jihadists. I was trying to answer a question to somebody, a white friend. He was saying he's hearing that he's Muslim and Christian, and thank God I'm even reminded of this thing. It is not a Muslim and Christian something that is... Now, unfortunately, they are killing some Christians. Some Muslims, sorry. And the reason they are killing this Muslim is not because of anything, but because they don't want to join the agenda. So they feel that as long as you are not joining the agenda, you are not supposed to even be alive. You are not a true Muslim. And that's why they kill them. The fight is against Christians. Be wise. Yes, to show you that you are in trouble, I don't know, his name started with Ahmed something, a senator. The guy posted when Trump said he heard that Muslims were being killed. He posted and said, we have won. I said, can you imagine the foolishness? What have you won? Just 2 days back, I was watching how a man, casually speaking, the death is not a problem again to them. He said, I told my brothers, don't run, let's fight. With a wound on his forehead. While he was talking, he said, then I didn't see my brother again. I was disappointed, he ran away. Meanwhile, I had warned him that he should not run, let's fight. And I tried with my last friend and we fought those guys and they ran back. Only for me to go and check and they tore my brother's stomach and the intestine and everything was out. And I did not see him cry, he was just talking normally. I said, this is what is happening in Nigeria. I'm telling you, these things are happening in Nigeria as you are seated here now confidently. I was speaking with a friend in Germany. I said, the reason why we are saying that Trump should come is not because we are cowards. We are not cowards. I heard one man, they call Sowore, saying that, I'm not against him, saying that Trump coming is to steal oil, waiting, waiting. I don't know how many of you have benefited from that oil, number one. I don't know if they may probably have an agenda. I don't care about it. But let's ask these few questions. Do you see any hope for Nigeria with the present administration to save those people that are suffering? Is there anything that looks like hope for them? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Second question, does Sowore has what it takes to go and fight people that are killing Christians in Jos and Kaduna South? He may have good intention, but who is Sowore? He has never become a senator before. The last time they shot a gun in a protest, I saw vividly that he ran away. Now, if these people, I'm not trying to mock him. These people are in bushes. You are saying Trump should go back. What will you do if Trump go back? Is the solution carrying and banners and saying we no go grio? Is that the solution? In fact, you make Tinubu excited with those things. The guy like, sorry, ask him. Let me see the video. Mad guy. The guy is not moved. He's not moved. These guys are ready for the day you want to protest. They are already waiting. In fact, they are anticipating the protest. They have already done plans for the next protest. In case they protest, this is what we will do. In case they protest in the next 5 years, this is what we will do. So, if God is bringing a force from outside, look at what that man of God told Esther in that power scripture. What was his name again? Remind me. Mordecai. He said, Esther, if you will not talk, God will bring help from outside. Because we know somehow God must bring help. Somehow. You guys here don't have an idea of what Christianity looks like in the north. I tell you the truth. Hear their songs even in Hausa. If you understand the meaning of those things those Ekwa guys and cooking guys are saying. I have plenty of them on my phone. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, you'll be hearing hiya, 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 hiya in my room. I'm back and I'm clapping and worshiping God. People are wondering, what kind of worship is that with noise? Hiya, 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 hiya. Imbaka de Yesu, komi azama benza. I'm singing those songs because they are very powerful. They are from depth of revelation. They will tell you that no matter anything, they will be singing. And you think it's a joke. They just feel like killing some people on a Sunday. Come and see dance in church. They are not leaving the place. You think God will not answer those people's prayer? I don't know if you remember that time we saw this that Reverend Datumo's prayer online. I told my wife, I said, God will answer this prayer. I said, I don't know how, but God is going to answer this man's prayer. When I saw Trump coming, I said, God have started answering that man's prayer. God have started answering the prayer. And for some of you, I'm entering a little bit into politics, but forgive me. Sometimes view politics in terms of administration or individuals. Don't say because past administration in the US did not do this, this person is not doing this. View it in terms of individuals. This man is different. You've been hearing all the things. You know, it's so sad that somebody one time said Trump framed his assassination. bullet pass somebody like this, who can have that power? If you can do it, say amen. You can frame a bullet passing you like this. You are joking with your life. Say, shoot me, but let it not come. When you shoot me, I will not do like this. You know, when you see that somebody believes such a thing, don't call the person foolish. There is a way you'll be darkened in your understanding that will cause you to start thinking like a mumu. Why will a human being believe such a lie? And God has started speaking right now. They've thrown one, they will throw more. Say amen. Some people are saying it will touch us. How will it touch you? Are you a bandit? They that live by the sword shall what? Are you living by the sword? Except you are a kidnapper, that is why you are scared. But if you are not doing anything, it will not touch you. The last one they threw, did it kill any innocent person? Some of you think they just look at Nigeria and throw bomb. Pew! No. They control the direction of that bomb from their system. Ooh, they look at their camp. Ooh, boom. And they all die. They can even blow one just beside us here. No, somebody said, God forbid. And it will not kill anybody in this church. Go and study. You don't watch movie. Are you all listening to me? They are the ones that are suffering. If not, the agenda is to wipe off Christians. And with these things you are hearing, you have to be on fire. That is why all this international be new generation Christianity, it cannot work. You see, why do you think some of these boys now they want to sing gospel song? They'll put earring everywhere, even in their nose too. Jairi, you are the best. Oh God. Jairi, they'll be doing like this. They did not grow in the north. Go and put them somewhere. Look at northern singers. Most of them who are singing gospel, you see they will just wear one package shirt and wear, and they'll just hold their guitar and they'll just be singing. They've seen a lot. They are not ready for any rubbish that is coming. They've seen a lot. All this rubbish. They've seen just one shirt with their trousers. That's all. And when you listen to their song, you really know that God is in this place. The rest is vibes on vibes. You see somebody doing like this. If you just see anybody doing, they did not grow in the north. And I warned you people about that kind of Christianity. Small, small. Satan is bringing rubbish to the church. When they blew the trumpet, the sound in the book of Daniel, what happened? The people bow down, worship a deity. I was saying to leaders yesterday, small, small. Some people are saying it's beats they like. Who remembers a beat without the weddings? If you are here, okay, let's do a practical example. Dum, dum, da, 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 da. How many of you remember that song? You can sing it. Okay. Dum, dururum, dum. Dum, dururu. How many of you remember that song? You did not only hear the beats. Remember the beat. What do you remember? If I say stand up now, if I give you a microphone now, you may be tempted to start doing like this now. You remember everything they said. There is no way you just hear only beats without the wordings. And there's a man, the Bible speaking, it says, faith cometh by hearing, not listening. As long as you are hearing nonsense, you'll be living nonsense. You'll be living nonsense. You'll be seeing yourself submitting to that deity somehow. That's how some people started smoking. Because a smoker wrote the song. Some people started womanizing because a womanizer wrote that song. And under the influence of those demons, they received the same songs. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
are you hearing me tonight? I wish you would really catch all this truth tonight. So when recently now we are seeing people coming to the stage and you see them singing, then they are plating their meno, plating their hair, putting nose ring, putting two earrings. I told my wife, in this church we will never sing those songs. I told choir, remove them from your playlist. We'll never sing them. You know why? They are bringing a culture. Satan is likened to, the Bible calls him a creep, something like that. He will just be creeping in little by little. We give him small space, he puts his leg. We give him another small space, he puts the other leg. Before you know, his whole body is in the system. So there was a time that if you try this rubbish, church elders will call you and pray for you. Now it's okay. We have gotten to a point that they are inviting themselves. Then the one that is worse now, our Gargaja brothers and sisters in Nigeria now, go to some churches, they've started doing their. I saw one church, this not. He plaited his hair, put earring, I was singing, doing like this. I said, oh God, let them send this guy to Kontogora to go and start a church there. That's how to help such a brother. Don't think those people, because they are in the white country, they are wiser than us. Forget that rubbish. We have the Holy Ghost. There's a spirit in man. Young people, can you hear me? There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost giveth him what? Understand. We are not daft because we are not in the US. We have the Holy Ghost. Be not conformed to the world, systems of the world, but be renewed by what? Be you transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be bold. I told you guys, leaders, yesterday, GCMI has no plan of changing in the future. You see, this church will eternally not welcome those kind of ideas. There is no plan to change in the future. Say, one day, I know if we come to GCMI, somebody will play this. If you like those kind of things, this is not the place for you. It will never happen. I tell my leaders, you are going for evangelism every time, look corporate. You would think it's, says, I want to wear this and wear pickup and wear crazy jeans. Nobody who is normal will listen to somebody with crazy jeans doing evangelism. When we talk, they'll say they are trying to be like deeper lifers. If that side of the deeper lifers is okay, let us be deep in the life and go. There is nothing bad there. Who will not want to hear a Jehovah's Witness at the first sight until you hear him talk? Immediately you see those guys, the way they look, very handsome and beautiful, they'll just hold their back. Say, can I talk to you about Jesus? It will be hungering you to hear until you hear. Say, can you have the time? Please talk to me. There's a way you look that people want to hear you talk. Imagine somebody like this. Come now, Donut. Let me use you as an example. I hope this is how you'll be dressing for evangelism too. Come, Benjamin. Come, Ene. Come, Queen. Imagine people like this come and say, can I talk to you about Jesus? Who will not want to hear? Who will not want to hear? Will you say, no? But imagine Ene wears one crazy jeans. Dye her hair. Okay, I think we're okay now. Dye her hair. White, for instance. Say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. You hear? You mean I should talk to you about Jesus? You mean I should talk to you about Jesus? And listen, sometimes our pastors are the ones causing this problem. Did you hear that testimony of a man that was teaching in Wolfbeck, something like that? He said he saw a drummer drumming, waiting no good. So good. And at the end of, he was led to tell the drummer, these earrings and everything you are putting on is wrong. He proved it. The drummer started crying. He said, nobody ever told me that what I'm doing is wrong. Nobody ever told me. And that's how the drummer repented. Sometimes you look at somebody, you say, if I tell him, well, how would they feel? Tell him! It is the Holy Spirit that convicts. If you don't have any bad intention, tell him. Except you want to condemn that person, tell them the truth. Years ago, while I was growing up, if you look at my hands, it's not a sin. If you look at my hands, you will see no bangles. I was a master of bangles. If I don't wear bangles, I'll go back home and carry it. There's a spirit that used to impact in me. I'm halfway to church. I did not wear my bangle. You see me running back. My mother would think I forgot my Bible or something. It's bangle. I'll put off there. You now see this special rest. And anytime I go to church, my spiritual father will cut it. He will just draw his hand, Simon. He will release it. Pap! I'll be praying for it to cut, because as long as it's not cutting, he's releasing it on my hand. And one day I just said, my hand is red. Let me stop this thing. It's not necessary. I stopped wearing bangles. Before I understood, as I grew up, I understood. Even chain he will cut from my neck. He said, just be you. Just be you. Till date, my pastors know me. I can't wear anything shiny. It's not a sin for anybody. I'm not saying it's a sin. If something is shining on my hand, like chain watch till today, I've been gifted it several times, I shared for people. It's not because it's bad. It's the way I was trained. But more importantly, for what is regular, you will not find those things around us. It paints this picture of maturity. Are you listening to me tonight? Even people that wear crazy jeans, if you wear crazy jeans to them, they will not want to hear you well. They will feel like you people are in the same league. And this is not us trying to be special. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? This is how we change the world. What changes the world is not a style of dressing. It's a dress like a bad boy to get the bad boys. That's rubbish. It is the gospel of God that is the power of God unto salvation. Not the dressing of men. It is the gospel of God. Are you listening to me? Say, if you dress like the Gentiles, you get it. That's rubbish. What changes people is gospel, not dressing. But of course, you know the way you dress is the way you are what? Addressed. I shared an example one time. I said I went to Fidelity Bank where people, when queue was plenty. I didn't have a car. I booked boat. Because of the queue, I wore suit, wore tie, poured plenty perfume. Held my bag by the side. Booked the boat, entered, got to the, there were plenty. I said the car, I said boat, I'll add 1K, enter the gate. If you can enter the gate, 1 more K. I said, no, no problem. That's a small thing now. He horn, open, or guy want to enter. And we entered. I gave him his money. Came out from the car specially. Straight to the door. They were on the line. Long queue. As I got close, I said, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome. I said, how are you? Fine, sir. I want to see the manager. We have an. It's okay, sir. Okay, sir. Hey, open the door. Now, manager, in once. Now, manager, tell him make it come. I don't know if I lied, but I just wanted to get into the. For church account sake, you know, we have a video. They opened it. I entered. When I entered, I just arranged myself. I went upstairs. I sat with a guy. I said, you know, I came here. He said, no. I said, you're a young man like me. I will explain this thing to you. I just formed that I want to enter this place. But this is what I want to do. He started laughing. I said, just help me to do it. I will sit here. You are my guy now. What's your number? Call it for me. His name is Joseph. He went downstairs, collected the form. We filled it. He submitted it for me. We exchanged number. He said, I like you. I said, I like you too. When I went outside, there was no money to complete that boat. I went and took bike. I was turned. I went. But you see, the way I dressed was the way I was what? I dressed. They just knew that it was manager I wanted to see. Did you catch this now? Bow your heads and pray. Give God praise and thank Him for His word. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Mighty One. Mighty One, we worship You. Mighty One, Mighty One, we worship You. For I've tested and seen Your goodness, and have stood in the power of Your presence. For I felt the depths of Your mercy, and oh how Your love, it always surrounds me. For I've tested and seen Your goodness, and I've stood in the power of Your presence. For I've felt the depths of Your mercy, and it always surrounds. You're the mighty One, mighty One. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. Great and mighty One, mighty One. Mighty One. We worship You, Lord. We worship. Now I'm going to pray and thank the Lord for His mercy. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We are accessing both forms of Your mercy. Lord, if I'm drowning right now, Your mercy will take me out. But more importantly, Lord,
Your mercy will cause me to stand like a rock forever. If I'm in any situation right now, your mercy is going to take me out of that situation. But more importantly, Holy Spirit, your mercy tonight, as I come before your throne of grace, I'm receiving mercy for times of need, for trying moment. I will stand through the test of any situation. Go ahead and pray. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. Oh, rapakatasia bakatosia bakataya. Rabakata labakata yakata bayaka baba baba baba. Rabaka baba 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 baba. Rakata kata kata bala bala kata ba. Kata pashuka baya. Oh, rikamatosia pakataya. Go ahead and thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his mercy. You will not be drowned by this trying moment, but more importantly, you are standing through the test of time because of the knowledge of his mercy. Parakabaya. Orapakashabaya. It's all because of you. It's all because of your grace that I'm still standing here right now. It's all because of you. It's all because of your Lord that I'm still standing. I could have missed my way. I could have fallen on the wayside. But you are always there to help. I could have missed my way. I could have fallen on the wayside. But you always me. Lord, I'm amazed of how you've shown me mercy. Cheated come on, thank you for your mercy. I'm amazed, Lord, I'm amazed of how you've shown me. Cheated come on, cheated come on. Thank you. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I'm amazed. Cheated you more. Cheated you more. Thank you for your mercy. One more time. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I'm amazed. Cheated him all. Cheated. Oh, Rabashana Maya Kola Rabaya. I could have missed my way. I could have fallen on the wayside. But you always there to help. I could have missed my way. I could have fallen on the way. But you always there. Lord, I'm amazed how you've shown me mercy. Thank you for your mercy. I'm amazed, Lord, I'm amazed how you've shown me. Thank you, Lord, thank you.
Lord, I'm amazed, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Oh, how I'm amazed, Lord. I'm amazed. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Hey, hey, hey. Lord, I'm amazed, Lord. How you've shown me mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm amazed. How you've shown me mercy. Shine came on. One more time. Lord, I'm amazed. How you've shown me. Shine came on. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. How, Lord, I'm amazed. The Lord opened our eyes today to discover that mercy will not just take us out of problems. Mercy is the reason why we will not be consumed by tribulations and trials. Mercy is how the reason why we will win in any situation. Mercy is the reason why we can become the best. Mercy is not just taking advantage of God's grace and living in failure. Mercy is the reason why we will eternally be success. Be a success. Go ahead and thank the Lord for His mercies. Thank Him. It's your year of the flight. Thank Him for mercy that will aid you to fly in this season. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, who are these that fly as the doors of heaven? Who are these that fly as the doors of heaven? Lord, by your mercy, I'm catapulted into realms of victory. You are taking me by your hand. After the tribulation and trial, Daniel went to a higher level. The conspiracy he faced that took him to the lion's den was to approve him for the higher level. Afterwards, he became the presiding leader over several presidents of different nations. A man from diaspora. A man from another nation. Mercy is how we get fortified. It is fortification for future success. If you have faced any difficulty, I want you to view it from God's mercy, from the perspective of God's mercy, and count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. The Bible says, for our light affliction are working for us a more eternal exceeding weight of God's glory.
Om manani yalo sabakara deva. Om me yanono siyanono sadabakaya.
I will see your mercy in my life from henceforth. Your ability, your grace.
Eh anana mokana ne anano saradisha.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for accessing your mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.